I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
Welcome to the 11 Personnel Podcast, your favorite Rams podcast. I'm your host, Jordan Rodriguez. With me, as always, our last podcast of 2020 and an emergency episode, my fabulous co-host, Rich Hammond. Rich, how you doing?
I have a strange sense of deja vu, Jordan. It's almost like, I know this sounds crazy, but it's almost like we recorded a podcast about 5 hours ago and then had to scrap it entirely after we got some news. So we might as well get to it, right? Because everybody knows what we're talking about. The Rams are going to have a new quarterback for a very, very important game.
Crucial game. Yeah. So to the good listeners, the good fans of the 11 Personnel Podcast, Rich and I had a pretty solid episode queued up for you today, courtesy of our fabulous producer, Danielle. But we got some news. John Wolford is going to be starting for the Los Angeles Rams on Sunday against the Arizona Cardinals in a game where the Rams very much do control their fate, in that if they beat the Cardinals, they are in the playoffs. If they lose to the Cardinals, their fate is then decided by the winner of the Bears-Packers game. And that, of course, means that earlier reporting that we had done over at theathletic.com about Jared Goff and impending thumb surgery is indeed confirmed by Sean McVay on Monday night at the 11th hour, or so it felt. So basically what happened was this. Jared Goff had surgery to repair an unspecified injury, some damage to his thumb, suffered, and for sure was a dislocation, sources told me on Sunday night, suffered when he accidentally slapped his hand against the helmet of a defensive player, or the defensive player accidentally slapped his helmet against Jared Goff's hand. Who knows how physics work in this scenario? And Jared Goff's thumb became dislocated, and they popped it back into place and finished the fourth quarter of the game. So according to Sean McVay, the Rams then decided and had several conversations and consultations with various doctors through the evening on Sunday night, and decided early in the wee hours of Monday morning that Jared would have a simple, if any surgery could be simple, this one was described as such, simple surgery to stabilize some of the damage in his thumb. The indication is there are multiple stabilizing screws in his thumb, and Sean McVay is pretty adamant that if the Rams make the playoffs, Jared would actually be good to play in week one of the playoffs should that happen. Did I miss anything?
Ooh, there's a lot there, Jordan.
Could you hear how layered my voice is?
Yes. Lots of things get decided very early in the morning. I'm sure that's exactly what happened. It's obviously huge news here. I mean, the Rams, I think we can all agree, they shouldn't have put themselves in this position. They could have clinched a playoff spot 2 weeks ago against the New York Jets. And then this game, I'm not saying it would have been meaningless, but it certainly wouldn't have been as important as it is now. And then, of course, they didn't take care of business this past Sunday against the Seattle Seahawks. So they've put themselves in this situation. And now just, like you said, one slap of the helmet and welcome John Wolford. He's a guy who has been around a little bit. He signed to the practice squad. He's kind of your quintessential practice squad kind of guy, really good at running the scout team. He's a very versatile quarterback. Has never, ever taken a snap in an NFL regular season game, and now he will be doing so, essentially with the Rams playoffs on the line. Jordan, I know you've watched, John quite a bit. I think probably the first thing Rams fans are going to be curious about is, how do you think this changes the offense? I mean, we all know it hasn't been going really well to begin with under Jared Goff, who was struggling even before he hurt his thumb. But what do you think happens here? Do they try to basically run the same kind of things with John Wolford, or do they build in something for his skill set? Do we even have a guess as to how this is going to look?
Yeah, I have a couple of guesses. What I would like to tell you, and what I would like to tell Rams fans, I would really, really get a ton of enjoyment out of watching John Wolford operate the Rams offense as a quarterback who can use his legs to extend plays. I would very much enjoy seeing a couple of designed runs. I would very much enjoy seeing them go tempo quite often, because John Wolford is extremely quick and gets to the line of scrimmage quickly. Very, very smart guy, according to his teammates. And you have to be, if you're any quarterback in the league that's running the scout team every week, to the effectiveness against this Rams first team defense that he has been able to do. He's been operating as every quarterback the Rams have faced throughout their season so far, and obviously a very, very wide-ranging skill set within this sort of schedule of quarterbacks that they've faced. And you just hear really glowing things about his adaptation of each opposing playbook, because, as we know, they pattern match. So what that means is John is out there running the plays that they do see on Sundays as that quarterback, instead of just sort of doing schematic things like you see on a scout team, or doing concepts like you would see on a scout team. They're running the literal plays. So what I would really like to see is the Rams just feeling themselves backed into a corner. Would love to see them try to punch their way out. I would love to tell Rams fans that they're going to, like I said, get some designed runs, go tempo. I'd love to tell Rams fans that they're going to get a 1-2 punch going with Xavier Jones running and catching passes out of the backfield in multiple one-on-one matchups schemed up against linebackers and bigger defensive backs. I would like to tell Rams fans that Malcolm Brown is going to be the guy who loosens up the front. Cam Akers, even astoundingly, may possibly make his return on Sunday from a high ankle sprain that he played through 2 weeks ago against the Jets, or I guess a week and a half ago against the Jets, and missed, obviously, last Sunday's game while recovering from that. So I would like to say all of these things. I'd like to say that we'll see some downfield passing as well, and they'll get going really quickly and well with tempo with Robert Woods and Cooper Kupp. But I honestly, more realistically, will tell you that I think, based on what I've seen from Sean McVay this year, you're going to be seeing them play it safe. That's kind of what I more so realistically would imagine seeing from them on Sunday. And it would delight me to be wrong. I think that would be really, really fun to watch if I were wrong.
Yeah, I agree, Jordan. There's a couple ways you can go with this. First of all, I think you probably take Aaron Donald and Jalen Ramsey and like put them in carbonite for the next few days here so that they don't somehow hurt themselves, because you're definitely going to need that defense on Sunday. So there's a couple different mindsets here. I mean, and that is part of it. You can look at it and say, hey, we're going to rely on the defense. We're going to try to win this game, you know, 10-7 or something like that. And we'll just be pretty conservative with it and kind of do what we do and not try to make a lot of mistakes, not try to put John Wolford in uncomfortable situations, not have to rely too much on Xavier Jones. So that's one way to look at it. Or you just kind of go, hey, you know what? Let's see what we got here. Let's roll the dice and come up with a package that makes sense for these players and their unique skill sets. That's certainly the higher risk option. The other thing we don't know is what Kyler Murray's status is. You know, everybody in LA is going to be focused on Jared Goff and John Wolford and what's going on there. And in Phoenix and Arizona, they're looking at is Kyler Murray going to play? How healthy is he going to be? So what an amazing matchup we could be in store for. I'm not even sure who Arizona's backup quarterback is. I'm going to have to look that up. But for a game that has so much at stake, it's really going to be quite a matchup. But the other thing that came of note, Blake Bortles, former Rams backup quarterback, looks like he's going to be back in the fold. He's on Denver's practice squad, so the Rams will apparently look to bring him back. And then who knows where this goes, Jordan? I mean, Jared Goff, let's say even the Rams win on Sunday and you do enough to clinch the playoff spot. So, wow, you're going to put a guy back out there basically 13 days or maybe 12 days, depending on when the playoff game is, with a handful of screws. I mean, this story is only going to get more wild, isn't it?
Yes, well, according to Sean McVay, Jared Goff is really that tough that he could be able to come back from a surgical procedure within a 2-week period and play in a playoff game. I don't say that as a knock on Jared. I know my tone is dripping right now, but right. I more so say that as a, I think a little bit of frustration to not get further clarity on such a procedure, despite direct questioning. Right. And so I think that that's where a little bit of the frustration comes. I think the fan base is extremely curious about the status of this franchise quarterback moving forward. So basically, it's interesting that they made the call for Blake Bortles. At this point, you know, basically Sunday, they probably could, if Blake comes in and gets onboarded, COVID procedures take a lot of time, and he's coming off a practice squad, so he has to come on the 53-man. Well, Jared Goff is obviously still going to be on the 53-man. Bryce Perkins may be elevated, and Sean McVay said just tonight, talking with media, after I asked for further clarification, that Bryce Perkins would be promoted from the practice squad. And so obviously, until Blake Bortles is onboarded, that's our operational knowledge, is that the quarterback depth for Sunday will go John Wolford, Bryce Perkins, who I think is kind of underrated, honestly, and then Blake Bortles is sort of en route. And then there could be four active quarterbacks, and then obviously only possibly three would get jerseys on game day, right, or two, depending on how they feel, how comfortable they feel there on game day. And so it's just a lot. There's a lot of moving parts right now, a lot of moving pieces. And, you know, one thing I want to say, too, about changing the offense, I know there's like a ton of excitement right now. I've watched a lot of John Wolford games, which is kind of funny considering I lived in Charlotte for 4 years. So obviously him being at Wake Forest, I caught a lot of his games. And then I also caught the Belk Bowl games where he set all kinds of records and really played outstandingly well. That game was held in the stadium where I worked every day, because it was Bank of America Stadium and where the Carolina Panthers play. And so it's really kind of interesting to now be out here. And then now John Wolford, who also, by the way, played for my hometown Arizona Hotshots in the AAF, is now going to be making his first NFL start. And all of that, I think, is so interesting. One thing, though, in covering Sean McVay for this last season, I have not seen a ton of proof that he'll change sort of this scheme from what it has been for the last several weeks. I think that there could be some fun designs and fun concepts to be had. And like I said before, I would be delighted to be wrong, but you're already kind of playing with an offensive line that's a little bit hit or miss at times, and you have to change your blocking concepts. If you are doing some of these design run plays, you have to change what your receivers are doing, which, you know, I have no doubt right. that guys like Robert Woods and Cooper Kupp could handle it. But I really think we'll see similar, like some versions of what the Rams are doing right now. But just as we saw Jared Goff keep it, if guys are covered downfield and then, you know, sort of meander his way downfield with the ball, you're going to probably see John Wolford much more comfortable doing something like that. So yeah, he can extend plays. If they roll him out in like bootlegs and things like that, that's going to be interesting to me because of course, John Wolford can throw on the run and he's going to be getting out into that boot a lot faster than you would normally expect from right. a Jared Goff. So those types of things are where I think I'm a little bit more interested in seeing how they execute. And then obviously how the route concepts unfold and develop downfield at that point as well. I mean, it's just, it's a lot, isn't it, Rich? It feels like we're in week 17 and all of a sudden the Rams world is completely flipped upside down.
Looking for an assist with your credit card, but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is and, not as simple you know, as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
Yeah, it really is amazing. And it is the very different types of quarterbacks, too. I hope that, you know, goes without saying. I mean, you just talk about the running ability and things like that. And I'm just curious to see. We all know some of Jared's issues in the pocket, you know, when dealing with standard pressure this past weekend against Seattle. It's not even just the blitzing. It's your standard rush that has been giving him some problems. So how does that change when John Wolford's in the game? I don't know. You're talking about a really veteran defensive coordinator on the other side there, and Vance Joseph with Arizona. He's been around a long, long time. He's been an NFL head coach. So I'm sure he's you know, putting the pot of coffee on right now, trying to look at some John Wolford film and trying to, you know, envision what the Rams might be trying to do. The initial thought for me is if you're in that position, you try to make that guy make some plays. I mean, that's kind of cliche, I guess, but you try to slow down the run, which could be Xavier Jones parts of this game, and then you try to make John Wolford make some plays. But you know, the Rams have some other tricks. They obviously use a lot of those jet sweep plays and things like that, so I wouldn't be surprised if you see quite a bit of that and utilizing some of those skill sets of Robert Woods and Cooper Kupp. But yeah, Jordan, I mean, everything changes. I mean, it's the chemistry that Jared has with certain receivers. We all know about his connection with Cooper Kupp and how comfortable those two are together. And Jared's been throwing to Tyler Higbee for a long time. He knows, he has a real good understanding of what Tyler Higbee's doing on the field. So it's a little bit different here. And I guess the only good thing, or maybe the primary good thing, is that this did happen early in the week. I know we had both in the lost episode of 11 personnel, we had been talking about how, you know, maybe if there's a possibility that Jared could play, well, then you string it out as long as you can and you see, you know, is he going to be able to make it, and you make the call when you have to. Well, they've made the call now. So that's the probably the primary good part about this is now the Rams won't practice on Tuesday. That's the standard player day off, but then they'll have 3 days of John Wolford running with the first team offense. So at least they have that clarity right now. And those are going to be three really, really important practice days. That's for sure.
Yeah. And specifically, Rich, made the decision in the wee hours of Monday morning, Sunday,
right.
Sunday evening, Monday morning. Who's to say? Mm-hmm. Well, we know who could say, but won't. All right. Anyway.
By the way, if you didn't like not being able to get information about Jared Goff's thumb, I'll tell you some stories about a year's worth of questions about Todd Gurley's knee and trying to find out what was going on there. So. But that's look. I get it. I know exactly where their minds are on this. It's if we do win this game on Sunday, then, you know, Team X is going to be very curious to see exactly what happened to Jared. I mean, it's very typical NFL coaching, you know. I don't want to say paranoia, but whatever a slightly less offensive word there is.
Yeah. I mean, other than the fact that, like, everybody in league circles knows anyway.
Right.
So, I mean, I doubt that the Rams' upcoming opponent will think that, you know, the Rams are doing a lot of things differently because Jared has an unknown number of screws in his right thumb. So, but yeah, no, you know, it's interesting. It's just interesting to see. And I think it also brings up the sort of interesting philosophical question, Rich, that you and I had been having over the course of the last 24 hours or so. And it's almost like, okay, is John Walford in a good position generally to be in this spot in week 17 of the regular season with the playoffs on the line? Or do you think this is a bad position for him to be in?
Oh, boy. I really would have to know more about him.
Just generally, your backup, from the perspective of the backup being right. thrown into this situation. Philosophically, yeah, what do you think?
Philosophically, it wouldn't be ideal for me. it wouldn't be. But I guess the only way I was going with that was a little bit different direction. I don't think it's great. But, you know, to me, I guess I looked at it as how is he going to process this? You know, is he going to, some guys will look at that situation and kind of freeze and just be like, oh my goodness, what's going on here? I've never taken an NFL snap before, and now I'm going into a game with my team's entire playoffs on the line. Whereas other guys might just be, hey, you know what? This is my shot. I've got nothing to lose here. This is the opportunity that I've been waiting for, and let's just roll with it. And to answer your question more directly, I mean, if you know, not having the run game either, you know, not knowing what's going on there. If you had a full complement of Cam Akers and Daryl Henderson and Malcolm Brown, then I'd feel a little bit more confident about it too, and know Andrew Whitworth in there, obviously, and the offensive line. I think having some issues, especially over these last few weeks, it's not a real ideal situation. So I'm just, Jordan, even more than maybe even the offensive meeting rooms this week, I'd be really curious to hear what's going on in the defensive meeting rooms. I think it'll be a situation where those guys, and we know how prideful they are and how seriously they take everything on their side of the ball. I think this will be an opportunity for them to just kind of rally around each other and be like, hey, we've got to carry the team this week. I mean, they have been doing it
for a while.
But you know what I mean? Just kind of like you mentioned a little bit earlier, the back against the wall thing. And I think they can kind of maybe use that as fuel a little bit. Like, hey, we've got to make the plays on Sunday. You know, we've got to pick up John Walford. We got to pick up some of these guys who don't usually play. So I think they've got that in them. This game, I have absolutely no idea what to expect out of this game.
You know, if I'm John Walford, I almost called him Jared Walford. Oh my God. If I'm John Walford going into this game, I actually think my answer to this was different this morning, in the wee hours of the morning when the Rams right. were apparently making the decision for Jared to have surgery.
Right.
My answer to this has changed. At first I was like, oh gosh, what a tough position for him to be put in. I actually think he is just floating in gravy in this position because you're the backup quarterback. So while people are relatively excited about you because you're new blood, the starting quarterback has been turning the football over and just came off a game where he made some really questionable decisions. You're a relative unknown. You're basically a folk legend at this point because of what you've done when you were in college. Right. The fact that you worked for like a private equity firm and you still have a LinkedIn profile and all your teammates really like you and the coaches really like you. And there's all these sort of like local legend stories about John Walford. And there's these moments in training camp, like where he initiates contact on guys because he's just real like wants to be in it all the time. So you're sort of at that status, right? Well, externally, there's there's no expectation on you. Because if you fail, what could people have expected from you? You're the backup quarterback being thrown into this game in week 17. So if you fail, short of turning the ball over five times at that point, I think people could blame you. But if you fail to win the game for your team, nobody's expecting you to be superhuman. They're really expecting what you just said, the defense to once again carry the offense like they have for most, if not all, of the games this season. And then they're also expecting Sean McVay to call an efficient and solid game. Well, probably Sean will get blamed if the team loses. You won't be as the backup quarterback. And if you win, you get to carry that sort of status with you. You're the hero at that point. Yeah. You're the great story. So you're kind of in a win-win situation where you won't carry the blame with you, most likely won't carry the blame with you for a loss. It'll kind of be like a, you know, what were we expecting with a situation like this that's sort of come across our team? Like, what were we expecting? And then if you win, you sort of have that like continued folklore legend associated with you. So I actually now, and it took me sort of pacing around as the rain fell today and thinking about this, I really changed my position on this, because I entered today thinking, oh man, what a crappy position to find yourself in. And then I also think that we talked a lot about this in the podcast that never was. We approaching the situation with nuance, right? Like, two things can be true. It can be John Walford can be have exciting potential based on the sheer fact that his skill set is different from that of the franchise quarterback, and that he has sort of a little bit more of a dynamic ability than the franchise quarterback. But also, you know, it can also be true to not expect the world of him, to not expect him to go so far outside of himself or outside of sort of his status as a backup quarterback. Like, we can hold both of those things true. Hey, cool, we're going to see something different, maybe, possibly, on Sunday. Also, though, let's not sit there and expect him to, like, you know, part the waters or anything like that, because I think that would be unfair. And so you kind of just have to go in with no expectations. And again, John Walford wins in that regard, because if people go in thinking, okay, we have no expectations, do your best, and he does his best and they win, well, then you can carry that with you.
Yeah, I certainly hope he feels that way, just as a fellow human being, you know.
I know.
That's how he views it. I could also see the other side as, you know, somebody, maybe I'm just projecting my own kind of personality or whatever, but I could also kind of see the other side of it as like, oh my gosh, this is the opportunity that I've been waiting for. What if this is the only one? What if this is the only game that I ever get to start? You know, I need to do well. I need to play well. It's a little bit of a different scenario than, for instance, you know, Ryan Fitzpatrick, who's now come off the bench, I don't know, like 140 times to win games, where, you know, that guy literally has nothing to lose. I mean, he's, you know, nearing the end of his career. He's had a great success. He's played a ton of games. He can go in there pretty loose and be like, hey, this is just fun. I'm just having fun. I hope John Walford feels that way. But there's got to be a little bit. I hope he's not listening to this. I'm going to be giving him a complex if he's listening to it. But, you know, this is a guy who's worked his way up from Wake Forest and through that AAF and through practice squad and everything else. And I'm sure there's excitement, but there's also got to be a little bit of a feeling of, oh my goodness, here it is. This is the game. This is the moment that I've been waiting for. And I get all of 6 days to prepare for it. So I certainly hope, and that's why I start off by saying, you know, I don't really know his personality well enough to know, you know, kind of which side of the ledger he falls on. That is he kind of the easygoing, like, hey, you know, I'm just going to take this as it comes, or is he going to be, you know, having a lot of sleepless nights between now and Sunday, thinking about all the things that could go on in that game? But you know what? He's got a lot of good people around him. He's, you know, a lot of people who work with quarterbacks, but bringing in Blake Bortles, I think will be good. I don't know how how much time he's going to be in that building. I'm sure Jared will be around. I don't know. I assume that's allowed. I don't know what the kind of COVID protocols are going to be and all that, but I'm certain he can at least talk to John Wolford and be a voice in his ear and that sort of thing. Blake Bortles has been in this offense before, so he's familiar with it. So I think they're going to be surrounding him. And of course, Kevin O'Connell and some other folks in the coaches' rooms who handle quarterbacks. He's going to have a lot of good people around him. And then they've got a few days here to get him prepared. But just a total wild card. I have absolutely no idea what to expect.
Yeah. And I actually consider myself, I think a little bit, I think I understand what he could possibly bring. I mean, I'm not trying to, say that, like, I know how he's going to do on Sunday, because right. I don't. Nobody does. However much the hype rises in noise level, as it already has over Twitter the last couple of hours.
Right.
But, like, John Wolford's better than people expect. And I think he is going to be underestimated, particularly by the opposing team. And I think he will rise to the occasion in terms of not just getting into the system and whatever they're going to run, but also keeping calm and not getting rattled. Like, I think he's better in that regard than maybe people would expect. However, again, I would also say, like, let's just chill the hell out. let's measure expectations, because whatever he can do for you, if he can just execute the offense and not turn the ball over, that's gravy. Really, that is. Because you really just, you already know you can beat the Cardinals with your base offense, for lack of a better phrase. Right. And you have done so many, many times. So if you just execute the way that you have in the past and you don't make, these unforced errors, and the defense continues to show up the way they've shown up, you can just get through this situation and then move forward. And by the way, during that time, I will not be entertaining questions about, what if John Wolford wins? Will they stick with him through the playoffs? I'm not saying that that's a bad question. I think if you are someone who is just done watching the inconsistencies from Jared Goff, I don't fault you for asking that question. However, I personally will not be entertaining it.
Yes, I join. I signed that petition also. I will not be entertaining it also.
Someone will ask it. I guarantee you someone at one of these press conferences will ask it. But I'll just say this. You're not going to rush a quarterback back from a surgery if you're not planning on playing him in the playoffs.
Right.
Especially when you're getting Andrew Whitworth back in the playoffs as well. And then playing your star running back on a high sprain, like, you're not going to rush the guy back from surgery. I don't care how miraculous you're talking up this procedure. And obviously, all the respect in the world for Dr. Stephen Shin, who did the procedure at Cedars-Sinai. But a surgery is a surgery, guys. Like, screws are screws. And so you're not going to rush your quarterback back just to sit him because your backup played well. That's all I'm saying.
Yes, that's exactly right. Yeah, there's a reason that they made the call when they did in the early hours of Monday morning. They're keeping an eye on the calendar. They're looking at it, going, okay, if we do it right now, then what are the chances? That he's going to be back. They're not waiting on it. We'll see how it goes in a couple of days. That's absolutely it's a fair question to be asked. But Jordan, going back to what you said, I don't think the question here is for this week anyway. The question is not, is John Wolford better than Jared Goff? Like, if that's how people want to frame the question, and I think they're asking the wrong question. The question is, can the Rams for this week come up with a game plan around John Wolford that will be good enough to beat the Arizona Cardinals? That's really the only question here. You're not looking a week down the line. You're not looking ahead to training camp or anything else. This is the entire 100% focus right now is, how can they get John Wolford prepared, and how can they come up with a game plan utilizing his skills that will beat the Arizona Cardinals? That is the only question, I think.
Yeah, I think if they can keep that tunnel vision, because they're going to try, sort of block out everything else, this team can certainly beat the Cardinals. Right. Don't forget, it's an important game for the Cardinals to win too. There's playoff hopes on the line. There's controlling Absolutely. One's own destiny on the line. So with or without Kyler Murray, and that remains to be seen, you know, we're gonna see what happens there over the next couple of days. Who knows? Maybe they're making their own decision in the wee hours of Tuesday right. morning on Kyler. So we'll have to see over the next couple of days how that goes. But really, I think the Rams. I've found this team to be motivated by their defeats and motivated by their situations, and sometimes that's a bad thing when their opponent is, you know, for lack of a better phrase, and I see this on social media all the time, but like the quote unquote playing down to your opponent. Well, on the converse, I've seen them very much rise to the occasion when they're playing an opponent, such as their first matchup against Seattle or some of the tougher games, Tampa Bay, some of the tougher games that they've played and won this season. Well, this situation, their opponent, they might have been able to handle easily in the past, but the situation itself is adverse. And so they know that. And I think it's a motivating quality. And like you said before, particularly for the defense, I think it would be a very motivating quality because they know this is their team. And even more so now than it was up until the wee hours of Monday morning. I mean, this is the defense's team, and it's their identity. And so if they can continue to stay in the tunnel vision. And then the other thing I want to leave people with is I do love to, when there's a new player on the team or someone who's kind of under the radar, I like to see how their teammates facial expressions are when they talk about that person. And I will say that it bodes well in terms of team chemistry and on such short notice that everyone who's talked about John Walford so far in terms of his preparation, his attitude, his sort of dexterity within the offense, just burst into smiles. Like Malcolm Brown today was actually laughing, imagining some of the things, you know, in preparations that Walford would be able to do and be ready for just in case his number was called. And right. so I think they're going to rally behind him, understanding that this is a guy they like and have liked, just like Jared. I mean, they rallied behind him after he hurt his thumb and they were expressing appreciation for the way that he sort of stuck through and reset his thumb and then stuck through the end of that game. And you know, I get the sense that they genuinely enjoy being around John Walford, and they genuinely think that, you know, they don't think that he doesn't give them a chance. So that's a positive place to start.
Yeah, for sure. I can definitely see that. And it's, you know, the scout team quarterback does a lot of the dirty work, doesn't get any of the glory, helps the defense out a lot, you know, during the week. And you could definitely see how those guys would be motivated to kind of want to pick it up for him and want him to enjoy some glory, or at least a memorable game, you know, to almost like to pay him back for all the work that he's done to help them during the season. I think you could see the offensive line maybe rally too and be like, hey, we gotta be on our screws. You know, we got to protect this guy because it's an unusual situation. So I guess that's kind of the best case scenario. For all of this, there's certainly things that can go wrong, and you know, we've seen plenty of times when a kind of a young, inexperienced quarterback comes in, and the moment is just a little bit too big. But everybody's different, so I'm just fascinated to see you know what comes of this. But Jordan, before we go, I think you know we shouldn't lose Xavier Jones in all of this too, because you know, like you said, Cam Akers, we don't know. Maybe he'll give it a go. You don't know how that ankle is going to respond. But if it's not Cam Akers, then you're looking at a whole lot of Malcolm Brown, maybe. But potentially Xavier Jones, a guy out of SMU, like Rams legend Eric Dickerson. So a little bit of an interesting history there. But what obviously Rams fans have not seen this guy. So what would you expect if he does get on the field, if he is involved in the game plan? What kind of role or what kind of things could he do out there that would help move the ball?
Well, we did talk to Malcolm Brown this morning. And so obviously with Daryl Henderson going on IR and Cam Akers, yeah, Sean's optimistic that he could come back on Sunday. It's really high ankle sprains are so fickle. So while Cam Akers has been so impressive with the way he's battled back from injury and battled through injury this entire season. But again, let's be realists here in that there's a possibility that his ability is limited some on Sunday with that high ankle sprain that he's still recovering from. So if Xavier Jones is the guy, Malcolm Brown was talking about how shifty he is. And again, this is a guy who teammates just break into smiles when talking about him because they've seen his ability through training camp. Austin Blythe said, like, day one of training camp, he knew that Xavier Jones was going to make the roster. It's just a guy that they were really impressed with in terms of his agility and shiftiness. You know, he's not a guy who you're going to want running downhill all the time. You know, the Malcolm Brown can handle that. Xavier Jones is a guy in a best case scenario where you're trying to run him outside, pop him outside, find him a couple of maybe initial gaps and then some cutbacks or something really a little bit more technical than just your north to south stuff. And you also want to work him in space as an outlet for the quarterback. And so it kind of is an interesting scenario because understanding that that could very well be such a great skill set for Xavier Jones to have. And then also knowing that you've got a new quarterback in and you want to get him into a rhythm and you want to go up tempo if you can, and you want to move the ball downfield by any means necessary. Well, you now are going to activate a running back who could very well be your layup outlet for the quarterback, who could get him into a rhythm early if you work him into the passing game, complement with some downhill running from Malcolm Brown. I think that would be a very smart thing for the Rams to do. And Xavier Jones is a perfect complementary running back to be able to do something like that.
Yeah. Yeah. Having Malcolm Brown in there too. Yeah. I could see how that complement would work if you can kind of get the two of them in a little bit of a rhythm there. So, wow. I was just thinking that week 17 games, you usually think of very rarely, especially for the Rams over the last couple of years. I mean, last year they'd been eliminated in 2017 and 2018. They were already in the playoffs. 2016 was just a disaster. The game didn't mean anything. I mean, what a fascinating week 17 game. And I know Rams fans are going to be very curious throughout the week to hear more about how John Walford is doing. I'm sure there will be updates on Cam Akers, or maybe there won't be. But I know Jordan will at least try to get updates on Cam Akers. So it's a great week if you're not already following along with Jordan on Twitter to follow her at Jordan Rodrigue on Twitter. And depending on when you're listening to this, Jordan will be also be doing a live Q&A on a Tuesday afternoon from 1 to 2 p.m. Pacific time. So good opportunity to jump on and chat with Jordan before what is going to be just an extraordinary game.
Yeah, you guys, make sure you join me in there. And for those of you guys who have been sort of tracking the story as it unfolds, listen, I know it's been so chaotic and so hectic, and there's been a lot of initial information and then sort of misdirection from various camps out there. And I just appreciate you guys who have stuck with our reporting over at The Athletic and then our sort of poking into the situation. I really, really appreciate you guys who have just bore with us as the craziness unfolds this late in the season. You know, I take a lot of pride in bringing you the most accurate and up-to-date information that I can. And, you know, I just appreciate those of you who take the time to absorb and process, ask great questions. Love it when you guys leave us at the 11 Personnel Podcast fantastic reviews. We read everything. We try to respond to as much as we can. My mentions have been out of control for the last couple of days. Oh, so if I haven't gotten to you, I'm sorry. But join me in the live Q&A tomorrow. And as usual, if you subscribe to The Athletic through the 11 Personnel Podcast, you can get my favorite thing in the world. And one fan said that we should turn this little segment into a drinking game, which I am on board with. Rich, what do you get?
Get your shot glasses ready. Yes, you get a great discount if you sign up through theathletic.com/11personnel. Always a great deal on there. And we appreciate everybody. This is our last episode of 2020. How fast did that go? Of course, we will be back next week. I have no idea what we're going to be talking about. We'll either be talking about the preparing for a Rams playoff game the following weekend, or we'll be deconstructing another 9-7 season without a playoff berth. So I know there's a lot of anxiety out there, Rams fans. I feel you. I know it's going to be a weird week and everybody is a little anxious about what's going on. But thank you all. As Jordan said, thank you for following along with us. And we will be back with you next week, no matter what.
Happy New Year, everybody. Thank you for tuning in to this very manic episode of the 11 Personnel Podcast. I'm Jordan Rodrigue, my co-host, fabulous Rich Hammond. We'll catch you next time.